Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
Who's excited? Yes? Oh, some of you are excited. That's good. We're in a series called Jonah, the Stinking Prophet. Someone say the Stinking Prophet. And he really was a stinking prophet. The story of Jonah is very different to the other prophets that we see in the scriptures. It's different because instead of concentrating on what the Lord says to the people through the prophet, it actually concentrates on the prophet himself. And so it looks at Jonah's attitude and Jonah's response to what God is doing in our world. And it should actually teach us a lot about God's character, but it should also teach us a lot about, I'm going to put that there, just for you, Dawn, if you're watching, I've moved it. You'll understand that. That's a private joke, don't worry about it. But the story of Jonah actually teaches us about God's character, but it also should teach us about how we should respond to God's call in our world. And so it does these two things in the scriptures. And last week we did the introduction. We got three verses in. We're going to do the whole entire chapter one. So we're going to do a flyover of chapter one. And there's so much in this chapter that we could pull apart and look at. But we're just going to fly over the top and then hopefully tie it up in the end. Let's pray, because I need to pray. And then we're going to get into the scripture today. Here we go. Father God, we want to come before you today and thank you. Thank you that we could gather online, we can gather in the room, we can gather to study your word. Thank you for the incredible story of Jonah, Jonah's life and his responses to your call and to this, what it can teach us through the text today. Help us to hear your call in our time. Help us to be bold and courageous to share your message, your saving message to our world. Speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, speak to our souls, minister to us like only you can, and speak through me in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, Alexander, that sounded a bit high, didn't it? Alexander, no, that wasn't right. Alexander Graham Bell most famously said this, when one door closes, another opens. But we often look so long and so regretfully upon the closed door that we do not see the ones that open to us. One door closes, another one opens. We've heard that before, haven't we? Many, many times. But for Jonah, it's actually the other way around. It's one door opens and God closes the door. Someone say, sometimes God closes the door. Did you say close my mouth? I was going to say, oh my gosh, I'm feeling the love. Online, give me some love and hit the love button emoji just to give me some love because I... Close the whale's mouth. All right. So last week, I'll give you the benefit of doubt. A whale? Oh my gosh, this is getting worse and worse. Online people, share some love with me. I need it today. They're picking on me. Anyway, last week we looked at the word of God and we looked at the word of the Lord, how it came to Jonah and said to go to this great city of Nineveh and preach against it. It didn't say evil city of Nineveh. It said great city of Nineveh and preach against its wickedness. I was reading during the week some stuff and I was reading about the king of Nineveh, and the king would literally put people in a catapult and see how far he could get them over the top of the wall and then out. It was like a sport to him. Obviously, people would die when they hit the ground, but he would throw these people in a catapult over the wall for fun, just to see how far he could get them. That was like his sport. Yeah, Nahum describes this city as a city of bloodshed. There's countless bodies, according to him, laid up on the streets. And so this city is messed up. This place is messed up, but yet God says, go to this city. Someone say, but God. But God said, go to this city and tell them that their wrong has come up before me. Tell them that their wickedness has come up before me. But instead of Jonah going to Nineveh, which was only 500 miles away, he decides to run 2,500 miles in the opposite direction to a place called Tarshish. And we're going to pick up this story. We finished on verse 3, but I've got to bring up verse 3 again, just to capture where we got to. It says, but Jonah ran away from the Lord That's always a dumb decision to do straight away, to run away from the Lord. But he ran away from the Lord and headed towards Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship aboard for the port. After he paid the fare, he went aboard and sailed from Tarshish to flee from the Lord. See, what's interesting here is that all the doors were open for Jonah. It just so happens he could get down to Joppa. And it just so happens that there was a boat going in the opposite direction to Tarshish. And it just so happens that he had enough money to pay for the fare. And it just so happens that he was in the boat and it was all good. And it just so happens that he was trying to flee. The doors opened for him to try and flee from the Lord. Do you see that? The doors just so... Here's my point. Just because a door is open for us doesn't mean we need to walk through it. There are plenty of doors that open. Doesn't mean we need to walk through them. I believe God is in complete and utter control, amen? Amen. Like he's in complete utter control, that nothing happens without God knowing. But I believe too he allows the devil to open doors sometimes that are not towards God. That doors can open that are not from God. And sometimes God has to come and shut a door to stop us from going too far. And I think this is where we see the doors open for Jonah. So he jumps on the boat and he goes. He pays the fare, he goes. It's just doors open. Like, just because a door is open doesn't mean we have to go through it. But if we're deciding between two doors which one to go through, here's three quick tips you could use. First one, find out what the Bible says. Like, quite often, doors open, and then we go, which one should I do? What's God's will for me? Is it this one or this one? Should I have the bacon sandwich or should I have the vegetarian sandwich? He adds this bacon every time. Every time! It's just a sandwich, it doesn't matter. But when it's a life matter thing, find out what the Bible says. It's full of wisdom, it's full of good stuff. Pray about it. Don't be that Christian that gets to the end of the day and goes, well, I've tried everything else, I guess all I can do now is pray. What? Pray from the start, before you go through the door. Maybe talk to a wise Christian. There's plenty of us that are wise. I'm not talking about old and wise, I'm just saying wise. Someone who knows the ways of God, who can help discern that track for you. Sometimes we go through doors that we're not meant to go through. And Jonah did this. So he went through a door he wasn't meant to go through. And he's heading on a boat now towards Tarshish. Verse 4, then the Lord, someone say, then the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea. Such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. Verse 5, all the sailors were afraid and each cried out to their own God and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. Just picture this scene for a minute, right? You got these sailors, they're sailing. These are experienced sailors. These guys know what they're doing. This is in a day and age when if your cargo didn't meet your destination, you had to pay for it. You were held personally responsible for the cargo from one place to the other. And if they didn't arrive the way it was supposed to arrive, you had to pay for it. And these guys, in the middle of this storm that has arisen, are throwing their cargo overboard to try and save their lives. This is one heck of a storm, is it not? Yeah. One heck of a storm. Like there, but Jonah, someone say, but Jonah. Oh, very quick over here. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he laid down and fell asleep into a deep sleep, it says actually, fell into a deep sleep. That word deep sleep, if you translate it, means totally out of it. Like unconscious, relaxed, careless, not paying attention. Out. I'm just going to put this out here. There's no condemnation for anyone, but I'm just going to put that out there. But there are plenty of people in our society right now in the middle of storms. Storms of homelessness. Storms of financial issues, storms of stress, storms of mental health, storms of family and domestic violence, storms of greed and pride and corruption, storms of drug issues and alcohol issues, storms of family breakdowns. In fact, anything that really kind of impacts life and creates a storm that we get anxious. There are so many storms out there, and the question is, are we fast asleep like Jonah was? That's tough, eh? That's tough. Are we fast asleep like Jonah? I'm not pointing fingers. I don't even want to look at people right now. But are we fast asleep like Jonah? He didn't care. He's not paying attention to anything. Verse 6, the captain. Someone say the captain. I feel good because I am the captain. Not of this ship, but I am a captain. So the other kind. This is what the captain of the ship said. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up. Call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They casted lots, and it fell on Jonah. Surprise, surprise. If God wanted the crew to know, it was Jonah who was running. Surprise, God made that happen. You ever cut the straws, and whoever gets the shortest straw has to, you know, do whatever the horrible job was? You know, they were the one held responsible, you know. In my household with my two brothers, we would have straws. We had a set, you know. And if all three of us did something that we knew my mum was going to smack our bums for, we drew straws to try and figure out which one of us is going to take the blame that day. And there was enough for us to enough stuff happened in my childhood to do that quite a bit. I still feel sorry for my brother Andrew. He seemed to get it mostly, but, you know, it doesn't matter. In that moment, though, right there, in that moment, it fell on Jonah. And they come to Jonah. Jonah, tell us who is responsible, this is verse 8, for all this trouble. What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? Like, you can start to hear the desperation in these sailors, can't you? Starting to come out. Part of me just wants to grab Jonah at this point and go, speak up! Say something! Do something! You know why this is happening? You know, I want to scream at him. But Jonah, someone say, but Jonah, makes one of the funniest statements in the book of Jonah right here. He says, "I am a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the seas and the dry land." Now, I don't know if you think that's funny or not, but I think it's funny because Jonah knew who his God was. Jonah knew that God created the heavens, he created the seas, God created the dry land. He knew that God was in control over all things. He'd seen God work because he was a prophet of God. He is there and he's saying, "Oh yeah, I'm trying to flee from the Lord on a ship when the God who created all of this and is causing all..." Like, that's just dumb. Like, is that not dumb? Like, I sit there and go, "Jonah, what were you thinking?" But more than that, right? Jonah was 200 years after King David, right? King David wrote this: "Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I, even your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. Even the darkness will be not dark to you. The night will shine like day, for darkness as is light for you." Psalm 139, right? He would have studied this being a prophet in prophet school. So he knew he couldn't get out of the presence of God. And yet he's trying to flee. We do that. We know who our God is. We know that he's everywhere, but yet we still try to hide stuff. We still try to do stuff. Don't touch the coffee. Coffee's not good for you. No more coffee. Jonah's trying to flee. And he knows who his God is. He knows God is there. This is hilarious to me. He knows God is omnipresent at this point. Omnipresent meaning that God occupies all of space with his whole being all the time. God is everywhere and all the time. And he's trying to run. And the sailors, well, they're terrified at this point. This is a storm, experienced storm, coming up, destroying, like they're throwing cargo out. They know they're going to be liable for it. They're thinking they're going to die. And they say to Jonah, "What have you done?" Then in brackets, "They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them." He was honest with the sailors of why he was leaving. What a witness that is. "Well, God told me to do something. I'm not doing it, so I'm trying to run away." And he tells this to the sailors. Is this how a prophet acts? This is not how a prophet acts. And I must admit, I kind of used to beat Jonah up a little bit for all of that, you know, running away from God, but I'd never seen this next bit. The sailors already knew Jonah was running away from God. And if they already knew he was running away from God, and they've asked the question, what have you done? It means that they recognize the God of the universe as the God, true God, the God of the seas, God of the land. They recognize him as God. I think in this moment, in Jonah's absolute despair and lying to him, that they saw who God really is. Let me tell you this, right? Our mistakes, God can still use. We quite often bring and say, bring your talents, bring your gifts, bring your abilities to God. Bring your mistakes, your flaws to God as well. He can use them. He did through Jonah. We quite often don't think about it that way, but bring your faults to him. Bring the stuff that you know you've stuffed up in, bring that to God, because he can still use it. And he does right here. Jonah, he tells them, he's running away, he sets a very bad example, but yet they recognize God as the God of the universe through all of this. Verse 14, the seas grow rougher and rougher, so they ask him, what should we do to make this storm, make the sea calm down for us? Like there's desperation. Like Jonah could have said at that point, hey, just take me back to Joppa. I'll go to Nineveh. He could have repented in that moment. He had a chance to say to the sailors, hey, look, yeah, my God is real and this is, you know, this is what's happening and he's coming after me. So just, you know, be with me as, you know, just take me back. It's all good. God will have us. He'll protect us. He could have spoken about God's forgiveness and mercy and compassion at that point, because remember, he knew about God's mercy and compassion. That's why he was running to start with. But Jonah doesn't say anything. Someone say, but Jonah. Oh, that was a bit weak. Say, but Jonah. Says one of the most selfish lines in all of Scripture. Pick me up, throw me into the sea. Imagine being the sailor who heard this. Right? Jonah, instead of wanting to go to Nineveh and telling him about it, decides, I know how to get out of this. Just throw me overboard. I'll die, then I don't have to do what God told me to do. How selfish. This is the ultimate selfish act right here. Like, he knows God is forgiving and merciful and compassionate, but yet he just wants to be thrown into the sea instead of telling someone about Nineveh. Or telling Nineveh about God, sorry. Like, I used to beat Jonah up so much for this, but this attitude, if we're honest, and we really, really dig down, in the middle of storms that people go through and experiences, do we share God and God's goodness? Do we highlight that, or do we keep it to ourselves? Jonah's effectively keeping the knowledge to himself and says, oh, I'm going to die with this knowledge. Yet, as I said, I used to beat Jonah up a fair bit. In the middle of storms, middle of people's storms that we encounter, we should be telling them about the grace of God. We should be telling them that we can live with resurrection power. We could tell them that although you might be in the valley of the shadow of death, God will not leave you in the valley of the shadow of death, but he'll take you all the way through. We could talk about how God is gracious and forgiving, how God sent Jesus to earth. We could tell them that there is hope and there's life and there's Jesus and there's all this good stuff. We can have peace, but instead we go to the grave. Not sharing. This is tough stuff. But this book causes us to reflect on our own life. And every time I've been studying this and looking at this week, it's almost brought me down. Because I realize that even I, and I'm an evangelist, I like telling people about Jesus and inviting people to church, and I can't do that for a gifting. Even I could relate to some of this stuff. Pick me up, throw me into the sea, and it will become calm. I know this is my fault, that there's a great storm that has come upon you. See, I think Jonah's mindset right there was, I've stuffed up so much, there is no way back. But yet, he knows what the Ninevites are like, and he knows God will be compassionate on them, but he didn't see the compassion for himself. We beat ourselves up a lot, don't we? Come on, we do, don't we? We beat ourselves up a lot, and we could see, you know, oh, we'll be compassionate for them, or we'll be kind to them, but for ourselves, it's a different story. And I think Jonah's mindset's there. I love verse 13. It says, instead, the men tried to do their best to row back to the land, but they couldn't do it, for the seas had grown wilder than before. Their best efforts, in other words, didn't make a difference. Actually, our best efforts will never make any difference. We can only do it in God's strength. I'll leave that one with you. Then it says this. They prayed to God, the sailors. They don't even know this God yet, but they're praying. Lord, please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, Lord, have done as you pleased. Verse 15, then they took Jonah and threw him overboard. And the raging seas grew calm. 16, at this the men greatly feared the Lord. And they offered sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. The sailors were saved by the grace of God in their seas grew calm, their lives were spared, they sacrificed to God, they made vows to the living God, Jonah's God. Jonah didn't even do anything apart from lie and withhold information and, you know, falsely, just, yeah. I might get keys to come up because I'm going to go on a lot more if I don't. But Jonah, the stinking prophet, right, the stinking prophet, his attitudes, it shows us the lengths he would go to in order to not do what God had asked him to do. And we talked about that last week. But what I see is this, but God, but me, but God, but me, but God, but me kind of equation in this chapter. And I've got you to say it all the way through. We sometimes have people speak into that. But some of us are using every excuse to come up, but God, I don't want to do this. Truth is, we're never going to win this game. Even in our faults and our failures, God is still going to shine through. But he wants to use us. And in the end, he sends a storm to close the door on Jonah. The door opens, but it wasn't the path, wasn't the door that God wanted Jonah to walk down. And so he closes the door. The storm was for his protection. Don't get me wrong, not all storms are there for protection for us. Some storms we create ourselves. Some storms are just because we live in this broken world. But in this case, God puts a storm there and says, no further. And so we need to recognize there's storms in our lives. And some of us, we're running away from God in the wrong directions. We've opened a door that we shouldn't have opened and we've gone down it or we've walked through one and we haven't done, and we know. Some of us have been selfish with the information we've had and not shared the good news. Some of us know what God is calling us to do and we haven't done it yet. Some of us, as I said, we feel like we've stuffed up that much like Jonah did and feel like there's no way back. And God, he has a storm and stops him. But here's the exciting bit in all of this. Even in the worst decisions that Jonah makes, in the most selfish acts that Jonah goes through, in all of that, God's grace is still there. Amen? It doesn't matter what you've done. God's grace is still there. It doesn't matter where you've been. God's grace is still there. In fact, let me show you this. Verse 17, the last verse in this chapter. It says this. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. Not a whale, a fish, as Zoe would say. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. This is God's grace. You see, even when Jonah decides, I've gone too far. I've done too much. I'm not worth redeeming. I'm not telling him whatever. He's thrown in. God still provides a way out. And most people can say, oh, well, it's a big fish. Like, did he really live inside a fish for 3 days and three nights? Well, if you believe Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, then believing that God created a fish just for Jonah is easy. See, our God is a waymaker, and he's a promise keeper, and he's a miracle worker. He's that light in the darkness, and we may be in the storm or heading towards the storm, but it doesn't matter because God will still have us. His grace is there. The sailors captured this. Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing this innocent man. And then the storm grew still. The men called on God's forgiveness. Called on God's grace, called on God's mercy. And even though Jonah didn't set an example, God still used. And this is exciting stuff for us. Because we do stuff up I stuff up, you stuff up. We all get to that place. But God's grace and forgiveness is there for us. Amen? Are you hearing this? Are you hearing this? It doesn't matter what we've done tonight, to date. It doesn't matter where we've been. God's grace is still there. In fact, when we look at Jesus, we see Jesus, he comes to earth. He lives 33 years. He is then beaten and battered and bruised, and he's forced to carry a cross up a hill. They whip strips out of his back. They strip him naked. They humiliate him. Put a crown of thorns on his head. Whip him with reeds. He could barely see out of his eyes. I can imagine this Jesus just being absolutely crushed. And then he's at the top of the hill, naked on a tree. Had nails ran through his hands and his feet. And this is a painful, painful death. They hung and crucified people in such a way that it caused their lungs to, the weight to collapse their lungs slowly. And this is God's grace playing out. This is God's forgiveness playing out. You see, I don't know how the supernatural thing works, where my sin and my shame, my wrong and all that kind of, it leaves me and goes to Jesus and Jesus' goodness comes to me. Like, this is beyond, like, comprehension. I'm just glad it works. I believe it works. And he made a way for us to get to heaven. He made a way for us to get to heaven. So I'm this is what I want to say in this moment. That it doesn't matter the stuff-ups. And it doesn't matter the heartaches and the things and the storms. They're there. But we can come to God and go, God, be gracious on me. And some of us just feel like today, I feel like today that some of us just need to be filled again with God's peace, God's grace, God's forgiveness. And so what we're going to do is we're going to sing this song. I'll get the singers to come up now. And as I said, you might be playing the but God, but me game and trying to argue your way out of it. You may be running from God. You may be in the middle of a storm or hitting a storm there, and you just need God's grace. In this moment, let us come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. His forgiveness is available for us. If you want prayer, you can come down to the sides or to the front row. We'll pray for you. If you just want to stand where you are and go, God, I just fill me with your grace and your peace, do that. Whatever it is, get what you need from God today. Yeah? Get what you need from God. This is a great story, and we could have gone so many other ways with it, but just come to God and hear his grace and his forgiveness today. Let's sing.